Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, this morning, we thank you, we bless you, we adore you, and we worship you. What a privilege it is to have a God like you. A God who does not sleep nor slumber. God whose eyes are over each and every one of us. There are gods who cannot speak, there are gods who cannot move, but we thank you that you are a God who is and was and is to come. We have gathered in your presence this morning. We thank you that you will speak to our hearts, you will shine a light bright in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. And that, my Lord, my God, you not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I have prayed. And somebody said, oh, give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. You may please be seated. Some people sit down faster than some people. Why is that? We must, in heaven, there's synchrony. You know what synchrony is? We all do the thing. We all do everything one time. We do the same time, isn't it? That's what we call synchrony. Yeah, but if you sit down before others, it's a sign. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, are you in church this morning?
Yeah.
Shake the person sitting next to you. You must always find somebody to sit next to. So when we say talk to somebody, you can talk to somebody. Shake the person sitting next to you. Make sure you don't do something different from what we are doing. I just realized some people sat down a little faster than others. It's almost as if, I have been standing for too long. You should have said it earlier. Don't you know that I want to sit down? I don't want to stand. But I can make you stand, even preach.
Yeah.
Hey, I can say, stand up. And I'll preach. You can't sit down. If you sit down, you will become funny.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that we do things the same way. That people don't understand that. That in the kingdom of God, that's why in the kingdom of God, if you do things a little different, you are funny. Because we are all supposed to do things the same way and in the same... William, it's been a long time. You are growing fresher since you stopped coming. Kofi, please help me. I know your machines are not the best, but if you can help me, I'll be very excited. So, in heaven, when we say we are bowing down, somebody's not going to say, No. When we are bowing down, we all go zoom. That's what makes heaven beautiful. You know, somebody got some arthritis, somebody's weight is stiff. No. That's why heaven, you can't take your body there, because the body will make you disrespect God.
Yeah.
So heaven is spirit. Spirits don't have no arthritis. No tiredness, no... Nothing. Otherwise, we have to take all these Chinese rubbing things there so that when your back is hurt, we have to rub you before we go for church. All kinds of things.
Yeah.
All of that is on earth. We are not taking them to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have a nice announcement for you. I need $200,000 from this service. $200,000. So, I want to finish preaching. Let me finish preaching first before you say that it's money business. It's not money business. But I need $200,000 from this service. And I need another $200,000 from the next service. So, whether you like it or not, we have to share and pay. Right? So, you want to look at your brother and say, how much are you paying out of the $200,000? Because we are paying. Amen. We've gotten a place over the river in Canal Number 2 to start a church, right? And we need to, polish up the place. We need a new roof and all of that. You know, roof, you know, if you build, if you are a very prosperous person, you know, serious person in life, you understand zinc sheets and you understand rafters, you understand wood. I'm sure you understand that the money is not going into my pocket. Amen. So we've got a place, we want to start a church. You see, one of the things we're doing in Guyana is we are planting churches and we are training people. Anytime we stop that, it means we have relaxed. Yeah. So, I mean, the Lord spoke to me about a week ago about that thing. I mean, the concentration. We should concentrate and do what we came here to do. So I was in London on Thursday. I told the Londoners, the church in London has been there for 7 years. We can have one church. So I selected about 5 people and I drove them out. So they are starting the church this morning. Wow. Yeah. Start another church. So they are not going. I told them that if they show up at the other church, that's the end of their life on earth. They must go to heaven. Yeah. Because we can't, if we want to be like Bishop, we want to be prosperous. Like, that's what Bishop does. More branches, pastors, leaders. That's what has made the church the way it is. So we can't be in Guyana and then be in Isla Penitence and think that this is heaven. Does this place look like heaven? Eh? Heaven doesn't look like that. There's no fun in heaven. It's in it. So one of the things also that affects leadership is that if you don't take care as a leader, you only look at where you are. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say, Jimmy. If you are not a good leader, if you don't watch as a leader, you will only do things where you are, where others are, because you don't go there, because you don't live there, because your activities are not concentrated there. You don't do anything there. Because most of the time, we cry and we complain, the government this, the government that, because they use a particular road, which is good. They don't use the road that you and I use. Where they are, thieves don't go there. So when you talk about security, they don't understand. Because where they are, you are afraid as a thief to go there. Yeah. The security, tight security, they will take you down. You know, food, what is food? They got enough. Everything is at their disposal. Even traffic, they don't experience traffic. Because once they sit in their car, everybody must stop for them to pass. So when you say, this traffic, president don't know what traffic is. But you have to put yourself, that's what sometimes you have to disguise yourself and just drive a regular car. Yeah. If you really want to feel how people feel, you have to go out and see. We have churches that don't use microphone. If I was in such a church, I don't think I'd be happy at all. Once we have microphone, we have these boom boom speakers. You think that everything is well? Everything is not well. Somebody's in Perica this morning. Who's?
Hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Their voice. By the time they finish, me, I'm here. I'm even complaining about my sound. So a good leader does not just focus on where he is. Do you get it? Otherwise, you will not be a good leader, because then, when we look at you, we look at somebody flourishing and then others are not doing well. It's not good. We have to have an even distribution of resources. Yeah, if you go to Letem, you must be able to live in Letem and stay in Letem. Timothy, if they transfer you to Letem, you should say, what? Letem? Oh, Lord. What I do? You do. But when we transfer you to Letem, say, yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Because what you enjoy in Georgetown, you enjoy the same thing in Letem. But it's not like that now. Even to get there, by the time you get there, your waist will be paining. Are you with me? All right, so like I said, we got a place in Canal Number 2. You know, Canal Number 2 is very, very far, close to Bell West housing scheme. Bell West. So we have to fix up the place. Yesterday, I was there sweeping. I spent my whole yesterday there sweeping. I was with this young man here. Did we not sweep? Did I not sweep? I mean, suit and tie. Was I not sweeping?
Yes, sir.
Did we not take care of bees?
Yes, sir. A lot of bees.
A lot of bees. We had to run away because bees were coming.
Yes, sir.
See, we Sunday morning, suit and tie, preaching. So the man, he just drank some, ate some cheese, and he's come to preach. No. My whole Saturday, while you were doing things that belong to you, I was in canal number 2, sweeping. I had a broom, I was sweeping. I was pulling tree stumps, and we were lighting it up. We're weeding, doing all kinds of things. Yeah. So we want to fix that place and then start a church. What do you think? Yeah. There are people there also. I mean, when I sit down, let me just talk to you for 5 minutes before I preach. Okay. When I sit down, I look at our church in Friendship. They meet in a school. Our church in Perica, then Amstel, even New Amsterdam. They don't have speakers and microphones. 4. If you want to buy a set and give to every church, we will not spend less than maybe about $1,500 US, or $300,000 by 4. I said $1.2 million. Mr. Jordan, it's not a symbol. It's not. So when you criticize leaders, you should be careful. Because it's not a simple thing. That's why I said I refuse to pay a certain amount in transportation for people who need transportation to come. Because otherwise, then this is our largest congregation. And here, of course, the offerings are a bit more than in Perica. So our money is what we will have to use to do some things until they also get big. They can also grow if they don't have sound. How can you go to a church where pastor is not using microphone? How many of you go to a church like that? A few of you. Because a few of you were with me when I didn't have a microphone. Eh? So where have you been when I didn't have a microphone? No, you saw me in my prosperous days. That's why you came. Yeah, for a woman to see a man and say, I'll marry you, when the man ain't got nothing, it means that's a good woman. Because she can see into the future. Look at Bishop's wife. Yeah. Bishop said he was like a terrorist when he was younger. He was like a Taliban. Yeah. You know, so we need to take care of all these branches in Sophia. All we need to get them speakers, microphone, keyboard, drums. We are not talking about bills. No, we are not talking about bills. We are talking about to equip the churches for them to function as churches. That we are way behind. And anytime we start a church, you need to equip them with instruments. Do you get it? And before rent, before properties, before renovations, there's so many things I want to do here. But when I start thinking about it, then I think about somebody else somewhere. If you're going to spend all the money fixing this palace, what happened to the one who every morning, without any money from the church, drives their vehicle to the Namstel to preach to people? The little we can do is to give them some small microphone. What do you think? Yeah. But that's even not what I'm talking about now. I'll talk about that maybe another season. But now, we've gotten a place in canal number 2. It needs a new roof. It needs rafters. It needs facing. It needs guttering. We need blocks. If you see, we've packed all our blocks. We shipped them there yesterday. We need toilet bowls. We need all kinds. So you just give me 200,000 for now. I won't bother you for the next 2 days. So when we meet again next Sunday, I'll bring another problem. Hallelujah. Right, so we'll do that before we close. But let me preach. In all of this, let me start from there. In all of this, as we are doing this, working hard, spending money, we're starting branches, we're starting churches, you don't want setbacks. I mean, already finance is a very important thing. But you don't want setbacks in terms of people. When I say setbacks in terms of people, you don't want people who are coming around to end up becoming enemies and betrayers. Because once you are building a large army like that, I mean, I can only imagine when we have 100 churches.
how Guyana is going to be for us. We feel nice, Sarita. Yeah. Oh, man. Say, hey, we came here how many years ago? Look, Batika. Look, Essequibo. Look, Quarantine. Look, Babis. Look, Georgetown. Look, East Coast. East Bank. All the coasts and the banks. We are there with our boats and our outboard motors. Now, in all of this development, there is something that we should be mindful that kind of disturbs and setbacks marching on and victory. Do you get it? Jesus said that I'll build my church. In Matthew chapter 16, isn't it? Verse 18, I believe. He says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, Rosie, now, it is in the building of the church that prevents the prevailing of the gates of hell against it. If the church is not built, the gates of hell can be a match. Stay with me. Are you with me? I'm explaining that he says, I will build my church. Building is a process, or a process, if you're from America. It's a process. Now, so the building, the equipping, the developing is what prevails against the gates of hell. So the gates of hell is an offense, or it prevents a limitation, or it fights the church. But it can only fight and conquer the church that is not being built. It cannot stand against the church that is being built. Once the church is being built, Esther, then the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because then there's some activity. The church is marching. It's like an army. If an army is marching on, I mean, who are you to stand in front of the army? They'll push you down. But if the army doesn't march, then you cannot think of defeating an enemy. So the building of the church, the building, the process, the continuing, empowering, and strengthening the church is what makes the gates of hell not prevail against it. So as we are doing these things, we are doing that, we're doing this, we're doing that, one of the things that happens is that we prevail against the church, the gates of hell. And in building, you can only build when you are always being, you are adding up and not subtracting. You can't build by subtracting. No. We add. It takes a lot of money to build. You should ask some people. Sometimes you go to the bank for a loan, and then the loan is not able to finish building the house. So the house is not finished, and they've started paying back the money. It's one of the terrible things you want to experience. If you ever go for a loan, make sure the loan can finish the house. When you are paying back, at least you live in a house that does not desire or demand extra expenses. Because if you have to now find some extra money and finish the house whilst you have to pay back the bank, it's double jeopardy. Deal or no deal. You have to choose. Do you get it? So I'm saying this to say that in building the church, we need to have additions. We need to have things that will help and enhance and promote the developing of the church and fight against the things that sets us back, that keeps us down, that prevents us from doing what God wants us to do. And that's why I am teaching and I'm preaching about subtle disloyalty. Because when you talk about disloyalty, when you talk about unfaithfulness, you're talking about rebellion, you're thinking about people who fight against the church, you're thinking about people who are not reliable, people who are not trustworthy. Even in your life, let's just take you and me as examples. In your life, Sean, in your life, in your life, you do not want to experience things that will hurt you. Nobody. You don't want to have people come into your life and abuse you and misuse you and take advantage of you. Nobody will allow that. In fact, when we are entering into relationships, what we do is that we have the hope that this friend that I have or this person I have, they are going to make me happy. We're all going to be happy. We're going to, you know, be together and things are going to go well. That is the only mindset that makes us enter into relationships. It is the sad case, rather, when that expectation is not met and things begin to go against you. That's when life, people get depressed, people get suicidal, all these kind of things. In a similar sense, when a church is being built and then people are coming, people are coming, people are coming, people are coming, people are coming. Oh, today you say, oh, I'm a first timer. And then they come and they stay. We say satellite church. People are coming from this area. We are coming. And then the people that are coming, at the end of the day, after a while, then the people are now fighting the system, fighting the church. Now, you cannot entertain something like that because it prevents development. I don't know whether somebody's fooling what I'm talking about. So, the things that prevent development of the church. Now, look at what is happening in our country now. Look at what Joe Hammond, what has happened. I mean, he has not spoken, but all arrows are pointed to the fact that the guy probably did something wrong by, number one, appointing Brian Tiwari, BK, to be some consultant or some presidential advisor, and then also calling GRA to not go and seize Bai Xianling's vehicles. Now look at the coalition. Now there's a dent. The first big dent was probably the salary increases they gave themselves. Because we were very shocked. We were very surprised. Hey, you people have been talking about all this, and when you came, the first thing you did was you raised your salary. When we salary raise, you see, so these things affect development. Joe Hammond doing this has affected them. It's going to make them lose support. If we were to vote right now, I'm sure people will either not vote or will not vote for them. And it's a similar thing that happens in the church. When you have certain elements who come into the church and not present themselves as people who want to serve God and worship God and seek the interest of the church in its development and its marching on against the gates of hell. And those people are people who have disloyal qualities, or they are people who show disloyalty. Now, we know disloyalty to a large extent. The books are there. Those who pretend, those who forget, those who leave you, those who accuse you. There's so many things, loyalty and disloyalty. We have books. But there's another aspect of disloyalty that is very subtle, very, very difficult to detect. I'm spraying the farm. I said, I'm applying weedicides in the church. We are taking care of any weeds. Because we don't want to be coming here and then only to be set back by anything. So, there are some unfaithful, rebellious, betraying traits that are very quiet, that are very difficult to detect. And that's what I'm preaching about. I'm preaching about how to identify those difficult little traits that seems to set us back as a church. How to detect subtle disloyalty. The first thing we looked at was disobedience. If you disobey, when you disobey, it's not that you cannot or you are not able. It's clear. And this is where most of the time, many of us are surprised. We are not able to make conclusions from certain things we see. The church is quiet. My latest message that I've fallen in love with is The Mysteries of Wisdom by Bishop. And the part that affects me more is when he asks whether Christians are wise. So are Christians wise? Christians, are we wise? That question has done something to me. Are we wise? Trovisi, are we wise? Secretary Letter, are we wise as Christians? So then I ask myself, the people who have the money, who seem to be prospering in this world, fine. How many of them pray? How many of them go to church? So what? We who have seem to have God, seem to pray, seem to go to church. Where are we when it comes to prosperity? The only difference is that we Christians, excuse me to say, don't use our minds. Yeah, we think that everything will come by prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Yeah. I'm saying all of this to help all of us understand that there are certain things that when you see, they mean a lot. When somebody disobeys something, it means a lot. For example, if the Bible says that the tithe is mine, and then this young man here says that he loves God. Oh, Reverend, I love the church. I'm in the church. Oh, Lighthouse is the... And then he doesn't pay tithe. Now, I can't be a hypocrite and say, oh, I mean, he's a nice guy. Even though he doesn't pay tithe, he's a nice guy. Just that he doesn't have, you know, he's in some difficulty. If it wasn't that, you know, he would have paid his tithe. So, he's still my friend. He's a good guy. That is black people, our problem. We are not principled. We always feel. We always have our emotions out there. Feeling for people and compassionate for people. And that makes us not being able to select the people that we should not actually have compassion on. But if this guy can disobey God, who am I to make this guy my best friend? But no, we are not like that. Your best friend is somebody who doesn't pay tithe. You are comfortably with the person. You go where to? You go every place together. You call each other. If you're almost everywhere together. If you marry somebody who doesn't pay tithe, now when the marriage starts going bad, then you say, "Ah, Pastor, I'm surprised. He wasn't like that." No, but you marry somebody who doesn't pay tithe. It was a clear sign of somebody who can do anything if he disobeys God. Who are you? So disobedience is a very quiet sign of people who fight progress in the church. People who are disloyal. People who are unfaithful. People who you cannot rely on. This morning, I'm continuing. The next type of people is scorners. Scorners. People who scorn. Scorners. Or is it scorn? Is it scorners? Scarness. Okay, scarness. Scarness is like something that you use at a shop. If you want to see the price of an article, a survivor, you scan. That's scan. That's what we call scarness. Scarn. Okay, scarn. Scarness. Scorning is another quiet sign out here of people. If somebody scorns you, stay away from such a person. So, all right, I forgive you. I know, I love you. That's why I go to church. So that's a mean one. Hold no malice against no. So I forgive you. And then the next day you are together. A scorner? Somebody who is scornful? We cannot be wise than God. If you want to be wise than God, then you play with scorners. A scorner or scorners are people who mock at you. Sarita. You work in a salon and there are some people who mock you when you do your hairstyles. And then they say, oh, what kind of hairstyle is that? This hairstyle is not nice at all. And then you say, me, I'll prosper here. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Something wrong with you. It's a very quiet sign of something very dangerous. That you should be careful about. Scorners are people who mock you. They mock us. They are mockers. They don't believe in you. People who don't believe in you. When you do something, they say, hey, what is he doing? It's like how we don't like the PPP. How we don't like some of these parties and things. Like, when they do nice things, we can't even say. Yeah. Mocking. Somebody who mocks you is somebody who doesn't believe in you. Because if they believe in you, they will not say something bad and negative against that thing that you are doing. You see, if somebody does a hairstyle, it doesn't necessarily have to appeal to you. But the fact that the person, if you are realistic, the fact that the person has been able to put some things together or have initiated something, you should say, oh, man, it's very powerful. It's a very great, achievement. Even though it may not be nice to you. You understand? Because you are not just basing your saying or your statement on how it looks, but the time the person has spent, the effort the person has put in, and then the challenge that the whole thing presented the person, and he has been able to make something out of it. It's like food. If somebody cooks for you, it may not be nice, right? But your attitude towards it will show whether you're a wise person or not. Because even if the food is not nice, maybe you add some ketchup and some pepper and then eat it, right? And they say, the food is nice, but maybe next time, I don't like salt too much. So maybe for me, you want to reduce the salt. In other words, you're trying to say that your food has too much salt. But you see, you can taste it. So, girl, what is this? You can do that, or you can eat it. Add some ketchup and thing and eat it. And when you finish it, wow, the food was very, very nice. But I don't like a lot of salt. So maybe next time you watch the salt where I'm concerned. You can put in a whole barrel of salt for yourself. But, when it comes to me, please help me. And then, you have said something in a different way. Uh-huh. Of course, if the person is wise, I put in a lot of salt. I'm sorry. But if you say, girl, it's what's this? Is this dark food or what? You won't eat in the house again. You will not eat in the house again. You come and say, where's my food? I say, where's my food? You eat dark food? No food for you. That is why you cannot take for granted mockers. Because let me tell you, there's a even in Ghana, there's a tribe that the tribe, they teach the men not to complain about their wives' food. So whether there's no salt or a lot of salt, they don't say anything. That's tradition. Of course, now we are a bit more wiser. So, it's your wife. You married she. We have to communicate. I have to tell you what I like and what I don't like. So, that is what now will make me say, sweetie, come sit by me. Come sit by me. I said, I love you, I love you bad. And I like how you make food. This one is one of the nice ones. But the salt, I think it was... I'm sure probably when you're putting it in your hand, something very hit your hand and then, so please watch it next time. because somebody has gone to the market to buy something, has come to chop that thing, put in a pot, light, fire. You have to appreciate at least these efforts and not just blurt out and say, what kind of food is this? No, when you do that, it's very serious. That's why when people mock, they are despising you to the core. Because you are not even appreciating. If you criticize me as a pastor, you are a very serious person. You're a very, very dangerous person. Because you have not even given me credit and you are criticizing me. If you give me 20 credits and you criticize me once, at least I'll accept it. At least you give me credit. But you don't have an idea. You don't have an idea how we came to be, how we continue to be here. And then the only thing you have to say, the first time you came to the church, you only have something bad to say. The other way, we had a similar case. Was it last week, Sunday? A gentleman came to church for the first time. And I hear, when he was going, I think when I was preaching, I said something about anus or something, or ass, something like that. The guy was offended. I hear when he was going out and he was talking. So one of the guys went to him, he was trying to talk. He said, no. The pastor is an anti-man. He's an anti-man. I mean, coming back to this church. The fact that I say ass or anus, I'm an anti-man. You rather are the anti-man. You rather head in good. How many sermons have you heard me preach in this place? I've been preaching in this country for almost 11 years. You come to the church one Sunday, you hear me talk about anus. I say anus. We are not just talking about, who wants to just stand and just talk about anus? We are talking about, it was something I'm talking about. And then I had to use that word to continue saying what I'm saying, to explain what I'm saying. Now, if you sit in the church just for one Sunday and you leave and you say, I'm an anti-man, you are a very dangerous person. Don't come back. Don't come back. Because you have not given even credit for something little. You have not even said, oh, the place is big. Oh, there are a lot of people. Oh, at least the pastor is trying. Look at how he's sweating. He must be, oh, man. Oh, my heart goes out to this man. Look how he's sweating. Oh, I hope you have some juice for him after church. This man, he's trying his best. Nothing. You say, I'm an anti-man. Now, people like that out here, you can say, man, he understands. He understands. He understands. It is that he understands. Oh, man, don't worry with he. That is what makes us commit a lot of mistakes in our lives and entertain people in our lives who turn back and bite us as snakes and as cobras. I tell you. Look at Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, the Bible says, you are blessed if you do not walk, if you do not entertain, if you do not accept the advice of people who are not Christians. Bible says you are blessed. Because what is happening is that if you are going to take advice from people who are not Christians, it means you are entertaining Satan in your life. How can you even have an ungodly person to advise you? Nor stands in the way of sinners. A young man was telling me that these days, you know, very good young man, doesn't have a girlfriend, nothing. He says these days, he feels like having sex a lot. The feelings come by. He struggles. He was talking to me. I said, but I don't know you to be that. So he started talking. So I said, why? Then he said, oh, sometimes he goes to a place to buy food. And then there's some two girls who are there some of the time. And one of the girls, they've been asking him for sex. They've been telling him that they want to have sex with him. So I said, that is the problem. That is the problem. As you have been in a church, you only hear preaching. You've been going to a place where something else is getting into your head. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, all the things that befalls us, all the things that we do, there are sources of them. You just don't take the sources serious. Anybody who suffers from sexual immorality, this last, many of those people have exposed themselves to pornography before. Or you have been with somebody who is very strange and you didn't realize it. There's always the root cause to something. So when you come in the church and say, Reverend, man, this is my problem. I don't know why it's not going. You shouldn't say the problem. You should say, what made you get the problem? Because sometimes you tell us the bad, you tell us the one side of it. You don't tell us the real side. You go to the doctor and say, that, oh, it's only my stomach, man, that hurts me. Well, you also have a headache. He'll give you a medicine that can easily kill you. Because you did not tell him that not only do you have stomach ache, you also have headache. So he can connect the two aches and see what is this thing and give you the right medication. When you go, you forget about a headache or you don't want to talk about a headache because as for headache, it's okay. And you talk about the stomach ache, he'll give you something that can easily kill you. The same way when you come to the pastor with a problem, you have to talk to the pastor. You have to talk. Talk. So don't, if you come and say, oh, I'm having issues with trying to, I'm feeling. Of course, it's normal for people to feel that. But he says, no. This one is a little too much. Then I said, if it's a little too much, then there's the source. Only to realize that he goes to buy a food somewhere. And when he goes there, the girl says, you won't have sex with me, I won't have sex with you. What kind of craziness is that? That's the last time I go to the place to buy food. But you see, you will not take these things seriously. So, these girls, they are crazy, man. No. They are sowing seeds into your head. That's why you are standing there and saying that, oh, Lord God Almighty. Ushakabra. Pastor, when I speak in tongues, it doesn't even go. It will not go. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The Bible says that you are a blessed man if you do not sit in the seat. If you don't allow people to sit with you, you don't allow people to company with you who are scornful, who are mockers, who don't believe in you. Yeah. Bible says you are blessed. Even if you don't understand the blessing, you must understand that if you part with a scorner, you no more hear negative things that will dampen your spirit. Because words are dangerous. You have somebody who doesn't believe in you. Every effort, anything you do, they say negative things. They are saying, they don't appreciate what you are doing. They don't appreciate the things you are doing. You do this, what is this? You go and say, what is that? Everything you are doing, there's something negative. They don't believe in you. They mock you. I mean, you cannot be with somebody. You are not blessed. You get a lot of headaches. So, and let me close with this. Some of you are so wiser than God that you are praying for mockers in your life. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. So, if you don't believe in Lighthouse Chapel International, and I'm sure if you don't believe in Lighthouse, you won't be here. I mean, I'll just take that. I mean, I don't think you come here if you don't believe in Lighthouse, if you don't believe in me and all of that. There's a big man here. It was first his wife. Is your wife here? She's not. Look. Even the wife is not here today. He's a big man. Mr. Wells is a big man. He's a very hardworking man. He wakes up 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. 4:30 every morning for to do his business. You think this man, today is Sunday, he could have said, you know what? Sunday, I want to sleep because eyes work hard. Don't you hear ignorant? Some ignorant people say that. Eyes work hard. Sunday is my only day eyes got. He's come here, first service, nice 2 hours, 1.5 hours. He comes to sit down, listen to the word of God, give his offering, tithe, amen, hallelujah. The Reverend, God bless you. He goes home. Nice! You think that he will come and sit here if what we're doing here is foolishness and stupidness? Say.
No.
He's a big man. He's a big man. He's a big man. Don't you think? This is the great. Yeah. Big man. He burned gas. He moved his car. He's come to park there. He's in the church. Sitting down. You are 24 years old. You don't even want to come to church. So I assume that everybody here believes in us. But just in case you are here and your belief is not 100%, the Bible says that what you do to a scorner, and there are some of us here in the church, your association is an association of scorners. Scorners Association International. That's a group you belong to. Sweetie darling, you will not go forward. It's not time to pray. And sometimes it breaks your heart that people enter into relationships. The person is a scorner, and they will still want to marry and be with a person forever. And they are asking you to help them pray for the man, help you pray for the woman. Things that church members will ask pastors to do. The Bible says that what do you do to a scorner? You cast out a scorner. You think God cannot change his corner? You think God doesn't have power to change his corner? But God's solution to scorners is not to pray for them or touch them. It's to cast them out. That's why sometimes in our church, we drive some people away. When people hear it, they are surprised. Church, you drive people away from church? No. That's not what we do here. But there are some types of people. There are some mockers and there are some people who don't believe in us. They are not welcome back to the church. They are not welcome back. Because the Bible says that when I do that, contention. There's always something weird. There's always something back and forth. Can you have somebody like that living with you? When you say one, they'll say four. When you say four, they'll say 88. When you say 80, they'll say 204. Contention. Yes, I know. That's why even in marriages, some husbands don't say much to their wives. Because when you say one, they will explain. You say two, they will explain. You say three, they will explain. So it's like what you are trying to make her understand, to change things in the house, to suit you and all of that. She won't hear. So you just keep quiet. You come as sky juice and when pipe, you just eat it and you go and sleep. You come and say, I made some porridge. It's not porridge I want to eat. I'm hungry, I want to eat some rice. But I've been talking to you about this thing, porridge. Porridge is for babies. Porridge is not for a big man like me. I've been talking about this. You won't hear. Okay, when I come, I drink the porridge. And I go and sleep. Then you're asking me everything okay. Yes, everything is okay. Everything is okay. Because when I bring it up, the porridge is late. There's nothing in the fridge. And this time, there's no meat. Where do you want me to go and get meat to cook for you now? All right, I'll drink the porridge. We don't even eat, we drink. Doing the porridge because contention. I'll drink the oats. And there are people in churches who are contentious, people in churches who are mockers. When you say anything, they go out and then they bring back. They call, "Hey, Jimmy, you hear what the man said?" The man, somebody came to this church, was coming. And one day the person said that the church member made a comment that I am full of myself. Why should such a person come back to the church? If I am full of myself, then you are a very dangerous person. Then please don't come back to the church. Don't come back to the church. There are a lot of churches. Royalty Center is here. We have Salvation Army. We have Adventist Church. The Obia people are around here also. Cochrane Street. We have St. Pius. And what else? We have churches around. Transfiguration. I forgot them. Transfiguration. Granger goes there sometimes. You can go there. You might see him. He might offer you a job. But scorners are not supposed to be prayed for. Once you don't believe, once you mock, the next thing is out. The Bible says that contention will go out. Yes, strife and reproach. Reproach, disgrace, shame, reproach will finish. He didn't say pray. He didn't say pray. So people who mock, people who don't believe, they show signs of disloyalty, but a very quiet one, which is very, very dangerous. The time is up. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray for yourself. Pray. Because sometimes we have some things hidden in our heart. David says, "Search my heart, O God. Sometimes you may even not know what is in our heart. Pray for yourself that you'll be a promoter of the church, a promoter of the Christianity. You'll be somebody who will not mock, somebody who will not be, bring reproach, somebody who will not be a scorner. You will not allow words to come out of you that suggest mockery and that seems to come and say, I don't believe. No, say, no, Lord, I'm a believer. Lord, I believe in you. I believe in God. I believe in a church. I believe in a pastor you've given me. I believe in my fellow brothers and sisters. I believe. Be somebody who's full of admiration, somebody who's full of positive things. Pray and ask God, Lord, if there is any trace of mockery or scornfulness in me, Lord, take it away this morning in the name of Jesus. Pray. Baba baske brindi mekaya baba. Pray, oh somebody, pray. Libros kebrinde makaya baskata barandas. Mando bekebre bakara baskibre be shikabara bandos. Mlalanda makabandere be kabrababas kabrada. Libros akataya baba baba. Libro bobobos kebrinde makaya babas kebrindes. Yes, Lord God Almighty. Help me, O God, if there's any trace, O God, of mockery, of scorning in my heart, in my life. I pray that, Lord, you take it out. You take it out. You take it out. You take it out. I am a believer. I believe in you. I believe in your church. I believe in the pastors, Lord, you have given to me. Let me admire them. Let me support them. Let me be a progressive member of the church, O God. Libros kataya babanda. Libereves kebre. Blessed be your name, O God. La broskataya baba baderebe. Libreske berendere ya baba. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I say, with all I am. Jesus, I believe. You want to sing it from your heart? In you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. And Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I. Father, I want to thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for affecting and changing our lives this morning. We know our lives are not the same again, even as we are leaving your presence. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us today in Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.